morning, Crossville Church. Thank you all for being here this morning and braving the rain and the heat and everything else to be here. But we appreciate you for being here with us in person. Appreciate everybody who is joining us on Facebook. Please make sure that you comment and let us know that you're here or here online. Don't forget about choir practice today at 5. If you have not been involved in choir but would like to be, Marcy is wanting to work on a special song, and so she's asking for short-term volunteers, and she'll be glad to put you to work and see if you like it and try it out. So please make sure that you consider that, lending your singing voices to help with the choir. We will have normal evening service tonight at 6 o'clock. However, we will not be on Facebook Live. Pastor had mentioned in the newsletter that there is going to be something special going on tonight, and because of that special thing, we will not be able to be on Facebook Live, but we do look forward to seeing you here if you can be here in person, and you will have to come out to find out what the special thing is. So that's a little bit of a hook for you there. Yeah, that's right. I mean, got to do what we can. I mentioned last week the Bread of Life ministry team will be meeting this Tuesday at 10 a.m. in the conference room. So some of you have been meeting as part of that, but also if you are wanting to help out with Bread of Life and the ministry that they do, you are more than welcome to be there to be part of that this Tuesday at 10. The NDI, formerly Sunday School Council, as most of us would know it, will be meeting this upcoming Wednesday evening at 5 o'clock. So all council members are encouraged to attend for that. And then, of course, we'll have our Super Summer Something at 6 o'clock on Wednesday night, like usual throughout the summer. And the teens have it this week, right? And it is going to be spaghetti on the menu and the fixings to go with that. So per the usual, there is a sign-up sheet in the foyer. Please make sure you sign up and let us know if you're going to be here so the teens know how many to prepare for. We are also going to need some help after Wednesday evening to set up and get ready for our Friday night concert. So if you are going to be here for Super Summer Something on Wednesday night and can stick around afterwards, please do. It shouldn't take us too long, but we just need to get some stuff straightened out to be ready for Friday night. And so we've been announcing. We're very excited to have the Guardians here on Friday night at 5 p.m. Or at 6 p.m., excuse me, it's the 5th, but it's at 6 p.m. And we've been passing out the flyers. You all have done a great job of that. I had an ad in the paper this week that looked fabulous. So we are very, very excited to have them, but continue to invite people this week, this Friday night at 6 p.m., and we hope to have a big turnout from the community. And the Bread of Life, we, like I think I mentioned last week, we have moved the meal from the second Saturday of the month to the first Saturday that we are helping Bread of Life with. So there's been the sign-up sheet. Many of you all have signed up to bring items that need to be here by this upcoming Wednesday night. And then we also need people to sign up and help with the meal that will be this upcoming Saturday. So please keep that in mind as well. We mentioned last week the envelopes for the teen fundraiser for them going to NYC in Tampa next year. I know some of you all have taken those, and we appreciate you all for doing that, but there are more out there to be taken. So if you have any questions about that, please talk to Pastor Tyler or Keisha. And I know you all have been bringing in items for the youth yard sale, starting to fill up down in that hallway and look good with some different stuff, but please continue to bring your items in for the teens, and that will also benefit them as they go to NYC. Many other things in the newsletter, as always. It goes out on Friday, so if you're not getting that, let us know, and we'll be glad to get it straightened out and make sure that you are receiving it. But thank you all for supporting the church in attendance and with your tithes.
Thankful that God is worthy of our worship and worthy of our praise. Stand with me this morning as you're able, and let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for this day. God, it was in Scripture where it said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And Father, we're glad to be in your presence this morning. Father, we can already tell that you have met with us in this place, but we don't want to go forward from this moment without your presence. God, just like Moses in the tent of meeting, we don't want to leave this place unless you go before us. And so, Father, I pray that you would go before us, that you would move in ways that only you can, and that we would leave here today knowing that we have had an encounter with God Almighty. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for everything you do for us. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.
Glory to our God. Glory to our God. heard that song before. I heard it many, many years ago. That last verse, Wayne, if you can get back to that last verse. If you don't like the songs this morning, blame me. Pastor Tyler, we thought, was going to be stranded in Kentucky. And I did this morning. And read these words. You don't have to read them out loud, but I want you to read them. Your kingdom come around and through and in me. Your power and glory, let them shine through me. Your hallowed name, oh, may I bear with honor. And may your living kingdom come in me. And then it says, the bread of life, oh, may I share with honor. And may you feed a hungry world through me. You can't read those words and just pass them by. You can't read any of this song really and just pass it by, because it says what we as Christians really need to be doing, how we need to be living. I then shall live as one who's been forgiven. I'll walk with joy to know my debts are paid. I know my name is clear before my Father. I am his child, and I am not afraid. So greatly pardoned, I'll forgive my brother. The law of love, I gladly will obey. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you have done for us in this day. We're grateful, Lord, for your protection. We're grateful, Lord, for your watch over us and your grace and your mercy that has been extended to us. And we're grateful, Lord, to be here and a part of this service this morning. There are needs in this service, not because somebody has told me, but simply because where two are gathered, where one is gathered together in your name, there are needs and there are burdens. Some of them are so great that we can only talk to you about them, but there are needs. There are physical needs. There are financial needs. There are spiritual needs. Lord, there are all kinds of needs that are in this service this morning. May we end this service. May we yield to you and allow you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, to move and to work in us. We give you glory for all that you have done, and we thank you for what you are about to do as we look into your word together. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We have some folks all the way from Honduras with us this morning. Dios bendiga. I think I said that right. May God bless you. We're so glad that they're guests of Arlene, and we're glad that they're here this morning and are part of our service. I know a little Spanish, and I'm not going to embarrass myself with them this morning with my little bit of Spanish. And I want us to look at Matthew chapter 10 this morning. Matthew chapter 10. And we're going to look at verse 8 here in just a few moments. For the past few weeks, we've been looking at the amazing grace of God. We've talked about God's grace and how it works. We've talked about saving grace, and we've talked about sustaining grace. And today, I want us to look at forgiving grace. Forgiving grace. We tend to think of forgiveness as something that we receive from God. But the Bible says here that God didn't just intend for us to receive forgiveness. The Bible is very clear about the fact that you and I not only are to receive forgiveness, but you and I are to extend forgiveness to other people. If you and I have been forgiven by God, then we have no option but to be forgiving people. I mean, that's really the truth. Jesus said it like this in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. Freely you have received, freely give. The New Living Translation says it like this, and I love this. Give as freely as you have received. Whatever we have been given by God, the blessings, the love, the grace, the forgiveness that we have been given by God, we need to be willing to give to others. And this morning, I want us to think about that fact that you and I have been forgiven. And we like for a preacher to preach about the fact that we have been forgiven, don't we? I mean, that's wonderful to know that our sins are forgiven. As the verse of that song, to know that we have been pardoned. What a wonderful thing to realize that I have been forgiven of all my sins by God who loved me. I told the kids this morning in Sunday school, but God demonstrates His love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's an amazing thing to think that we have been forgiven. And we like for preachers to preach about that. We're going in a different way this morning. Now, that wasn't as funny as I thought it was going to be. You know, we're going in just a little different. There's a whole lot when you begin to talk about forgiveness. And in our society today, there's a whole lot of wrong theology about it. A whole lot of people like to water down this thing of forgiveness. A whole lot of people, they just want to forgive everybody of everything. Dietrich Bonhoeffer basically said that kind of thing makes grace cheap. And please understand something, folks. If you don't get anything else out of the service this morning, I want you to get this. Grace is not cheap. It costs something. It cost our Lord His life to forgive us. And so when we begin to think about forgiveness, I want you to understand that we're not just trying to relieve somebody else's guilt. We're really doing something for ourselves in this process. And we don't think about it that way a whole lot of time. We're not just saying, well, you did wrong and I forgive you. You're relieved of your guilt. No, 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 no. If it's going to be forgiveness, if it's going to be something that moves in us, then it's going to cost us something as well. And so this morning I want us to really look at two things. And I know when in homiletics they taught us that you were supposed to have an introduction, 3 points, and a conclusion. Please understand, my homiletics professor this morning would probably have heart failure because I have an introduction, 2 points.
Amen.
And just for that, I'm going to read every word that I've got of the 9 pages that I have. And we forgive you, Gene. Oh, man. This morning, I really want us to see 2 things out of the service this morning. I really want us to see what forgiveness is, and I want to see what forgiveness is not. And we're starting with what forgiveness is not. And really, before you can really understand what forgiveness is, you really have to understand what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not a conditional thing. Our culture it basically tells us that forgiveness is based on some kind of condition. The Bible tells us it's just the opposite. The Bible says that real forgiveness is unconditional. It is not something that we earn. It's not something that we deserve. It's not something that we buy. It's not something that we bargain for. It is something that is simply given to us even though we do not deserve it. Many times in our culture, we say, well, I'll forgive you if. And please understand something, folks. If we go to somebody in that kind of fashion and we say to them, well, I will forgive you if, that is not forgiveness. That is a bargain. That is a contract that we are making with someone. It does not release them. It does not release us. Jesus on the cross, as He was dying, said, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. There was no condition. There was no statement there. Jesus simply said, forgive them. Nobody had even asked for forgiveness. Certainly most of the people there around the cross that day didn't even want forgiveness. But Jesus, there on the cross, said to them, or said about them, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Forgiveness for you, forgiveness for me, has never been conditional. When we come to God in repentance, He is more than willing to forgive us. And so when we begin to deal with other people who have wronged us, we have to realize that forgiveness is not conditional. It also doesn't minimize the seriousness of what has happened. Real forgiveness never does that. Jesus did not look at the cross and look at all that was going on and say, oh, this is no big deal. Jesus doesn't look at your sin. Jesus doesn't look at my sin and say, oh, it's no big deal. Please understand something, folks. If you don't get anything else this morning, please get this. Sin is a big deal in God's sight. And we have to realize the seriousness of what is going on. Forgiveness is saying basically to someone, yes, it did hurt. Yes, it did cause pain in my life. But I forgive you, and therefore I'm not going to hold it against you. There's a difference, though, please, and you need to get this. There's a difference between being wounded and having something wronged done to you. Many of us in our life have been wounded. I'll never forget, I was standing out in the foyer of one of the churches that I pastored. It's not that the one that you're thinking about. It was the other one. But it was... I will never forget standing out in the foyer of that church greeting people as they come in, and our one of our greeters was there, and when the person walked in, the greeter looked at her, and you're going to think I'm lying, but I'm really telling you the truth. She looked at the lady who had just come in, and she said, that is the ugliest dress that I've ever seen in my life. I wanted to see if I could go through concrete right at that point in time, you know. A few weeks later, the greeter came to me and she said, Pastor, I want to ask you a question. She said, why is it that nobody in this church likes me? I said, do you really want to know? And she said, yes. And I told her. She didn't like me after that. There are times that people wound us. Sometimes it is an unintentional wound. And sometimes people say things without thinking and blurt out things. Sometimes they do things. There is a difference, though, between being wounded and being wronged. Sometimes we have to forgive them for wounding us. But what I'm really talking about this morning is when you and I have been wronged, and it was an intentional wrong, and someone has done something knowing, understanding what they were doing, how they were doing it, and it was meant to be that way. We don't have time this morning to go around this room to ask how many people have been intentionally wronged by somebody else. And if I were to ask for a show of hands this morning and say, have you been wronged? Have you been hurt? Have you been wounded? Every hand in this room would go up, because at some point in time, we have all been wronged. At some point in time, we have all been wounded. At some point in time, we have all been hurt. And when we offer forgiveness to someone, we are not minimizing what they have done. Nowhere in the Bible do you find Jesus minimizing what someone had done. When you find him talking with the woman at the well, he never minimizes what she has done. The fact that she had been married at least 5 times or 4 times, and the one that she was living with at that point in time was not even her husband. He never minimizes that. He puts it out there in plain open view for her to see. And yet when that whole event comes to a culmination, that woman has been forgiven. Not by any of the people who are around her. She has been forgiven by the one who knew the seriousness of her offenses, and yet was willing to forgive her anyway. We somehow have this idea that if we forgive somebody, then everything has to be just like it was. No, I'm afraid it doesn't. Forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. We need to get those two terms straight in our minds. Reconciliation brings people back into a right relationship. It restores a relationship. And we are reconciled to God when we are forgiven. But sometimes in our lives, we can forgive people without the relationship being restored. You say, William, Are you talking about friendship relationships? There's all kinds of relationships here that can be considered. But whether the relationship is restored, whether the relationship is reconciled, we have to be willing to forgive. Because forgiveness is based on grace. It's based on what God has done in our lives. It's based on what God wants to do in other people's lives. We have this little saying in the United States that I think is so silly. Well, we just need to forgive and forget. I'm already seeing some heads being shaken this morning. We have a great mind. Mine works real well most of the time. Except when I'm trying to think of somebody's name that I'm looking at, who's been a part of the church for 3 years, that I can't remember right at that point in time because my mind is just as blank as a white sheet of paper. And those of you who have not yet experienced that, your day is coming. You know? Oh my goodness. I mean, our minds are such magnificent things. Neurologists tell us that during brain surgery that they can actually stimulate parts of the brain that control memory. And the person at that point in time can experience the joy, the horror, the smell, the taste, the whatever, because our minds are there and they are this miraculous filing cabinet that stores everything away. That to me is one of the most frightening things about what Jesus said about hell. The King James Version uses the word, "and the worm dieth not." The more accurate translation of that is that the memory will always be there. And to think about all of eternity playing situations and circumstances over and over and over again in our minds. The times when we had opportunity and yet we did not take advantage of those opportunities in our relationship with God. Because we have this magnificent thing called our mind. I'm not sure that we will ever forget some things that happen. And they say that the worse the situation, the worse the circumstance, the more vivid the memory is. And so to tell someone, well, as you mature in Christ, you'll forgive and forget. Let me just go ahead and say, maturity in Christ has nothing to do with this. What maturity in Christ has to do with this thing of forgiveness is the willingness to release it to God and say, God, I have forgiven them and I give them to you. I give them to you. And might I add this before we move to what forgiveness is? You're going to have to do that sometimes repeatedly. You're going to have to say, I forgive them. You may have to go back and say, I forgive them. You may have to go back and say, at least in your own heart and mind, I forgive them. Because you see, when you start talking about forgiveness, forgiveness is not just forgetting what has happened. Forgiveness is being willing to say, God, I give them to you, and you can take care of this. I said a while ago that forgiveness is not cheap. Let me say it one more time. Forgiveness is not, I said grace is not cheap. Let me say it this way. Forgiveness is not cheap. For it will cost you something. It will cost you being willing to say, God, I give it to you. Well, what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is really remembering how much I've already been forgiven. I think that's the reason that I love that song so much. He talks about being pardoned, knowing that I have been pardoned. And because I have been pardoned, I am willing to forgive. I am willing to forgive other people. Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 said, be kind and compassionate to one another. Listen, forgiving each other. Just as in Christ, God forgave you. I could have gone all day without saying that, couldn't I? You know, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. It is not something that you and I earned. Jesus has forgiven us because of what He did on the cross. And because we have been forgiven, therefore we are willing to forgive other people. We receive alabaster offering in February and September. And you know how that story comes about, how that event comes about, because Mary comes in and she breaks this jar of alabaster perfume. Very, very expensive stuff. And she breaks it and puts it on the feet of Jesus. If you're going to buy cologne, especially expensive cologne, the first place that you spray it is not on your feet. Well, some of you might need to. I don't know. I don't live with you. And people all around the table that night, they got irate about the whole situation, because here she had wasted, they said, all of this perfume on the feet of Jesus, and they began to talk about how much this perfume could have been sold for and given to the poor. Yeah, right. That was the bony commentary on that, if you want to know what that was. And Jesus basically tells them the reason that she is doing this is because she has been forgiven much. And you and I have to remember that we have been forgiven. I don't know what you did. I don't know how you lived before you came to know Jesus as your Savior. I don't know anything about any of you folks. The only person that I have an extended history with is this young lady sitting right over here. That's the only person in this room that I've known beyond 4 years. 3 years. And she has lived with me now 41 years. I got it right. Thank you, Jim. I don't know anything about your past life. But can I tell you, there are two people that do know about your past. One of them is you. The other one is God. Nobody else may know some of the things that you did. I had a fellow sit in my office one day in a church, and he told me some horrific things that he had done. And I, honestly, the human side of me wanted to crawl across the table and grab him by the neck and choke him. Aren't you glad I didn't do it? You say, Pastor, that was awfully carnal of you. There are times and there are things that, oh my goodness, you go, how could you even talk about it again with such pride? I don't know anything about any of you. But I know all about William, because I live with William every day. I look at William in the mirror every morning. And I realize just how much I have been forgiven. Oh my goodness, folks, if you only knew. And because I have been forgiven that much, I have to be willing to look at people who wrong me, who say things, who do things. I have to be willing to say to them, I forgive you because of the grace that has been extended to me. I have received forgiveness from Christ, so therefore I offer it to you. Forgiveness is relinquishing our right to get even. I love to talk to Tyler about soccer. I did a term paper in soccer for PE in college. Our professor, he told us, he said, if you'll do a term paper, I'll give you one grade more than what you would have had otherwise. Well, yeah, y'all can look at me and tell I'm athletic. I don't appreciate the way that you laugh that quick. I was talking to Tyler about soccer, and he's reffed soccer for a long, long time. And he said this about the girls' soccer. He said the girls' soccer, they can be vicious, because if something happens,
it won't just be that girl that thinks about that person and what she did. He said it'll be the whole team that thinks about what that girl did, and the whole team is going to get on her. Isn't that what you said? It's him, it's not me. We like the thought of getting even. We like the thought of, if somebody has done me wrong, then I'm going to do my best to get them back. Paul said, Romans chapter 12, verse 19, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Forgiveness means that you say, God, I leave this in your hands. It is not mine to get even. It is not mine to repay. I am not their judge, but you are. That's a hard thing to do at times. Shall we be honest about that? We like to plan and scheme and think how we could get the revenge that we want. We won't talk about that openly and outwardly, but somewhere in the recesses of our minds at times, we think about those kinds of things. Please understand, forgiveness is not getting back. Forgiveness is giving grace. Forgiveness is being willing to say, I forgive every time that it is necessary. Peter came to Jesus, and he thought he was going to be very generous. He said, Lord, how many times should I forgive someone that has done something against me? Seven times? In another place it says seven times seven. You see, all that they were required according to the law of the Pharisees was basically that they had to forgive someone seven times. After that, they were on their own. They didn't have to forgive. So Peter really thought he was being generous when he comes to Jesus and he says, you know, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive someone? Seven times seven, which is 49 times. Well, now that was interesting. That was a wonderful thought, Peter thought. And then Jesus blows the whole thing out of the water when Jesus says, no, 70 times 7. Now please understand, Jesus was not saying there that we need to forgive somebody 490 times. So that doesn't mean that you take a little tick sheet out and every time somebody does something wrong, even the same thing, you say, okay, that's one. That's two. What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying that we are willing to forgive people all that has to be done because... Oh, now here's the kicker. Because that's the way that God has forgiven us. I'm about to get real personal here, okay? How many times have you gone back to God with the same old, same old, same old, same old, same old thing? Saying, God, forgive me. How many times? How many times have you promised in your mind, I will never, ever do that again? Only to find yourself doing that again. Aren't you glad that we have a Heavenly Father? Then when we go to Him with a sincere heart, earnestly seeking forgiveness, that He willingly, lovingly, graciously forgives us. And when people wrong us, and when people do things that we don't understand why they are doing them, but they continue to do it, and then we want to throw up our hands, we want to quit, we want to say, I want nothing else to do with you. And yet God lovingly says, I still want plenty to do with you, talking to you and to me. Y'all thought these messages on grace were going to be fun, didn't you? Grace costs something. Grace requires something. And genuine, real forgiveness is never easy. Conclusion. I have no doubt in my heart and in my mind that in this congregation, not because someone has come to me and told me a bunch of stuff, but I have no doubt in my mind that there are some people in this room that have some very deep hurts. I don't say that to bring those hurts up again. I say that because if you were to see some of the stories of my life, you would know some of the hurts that I have felt and some of the things that... You see, we carry around the pain and we smile and we act like nothing is wrong. But there are those hurts and there are those things. And many times, and you're not going to like what I'm about to say, but here it comes anyway, okay? Many times the reason that we are carrying around the hurts is because we have not forgiven them. We have to be willing to forgive because God has been gracious to us. We have to be forgiving because the only alternative to unforgiveness is bitterness. And the Bible speaks of that root of bitterness that can grow up in our hearts and in our lives. But here's the last thing. You and I have to forgive because God expects us to. He expects us to. We'll look at this in a few weeks as we go through it on the Sermon on the Mount. But if you go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus says, "If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Let me tell you where the first place that you need to start. The first place in this whole thing of forgiving somebody else, the first place that you have to start is to make sure that you yourself have been forgiven. You can't really forgive until you know that your sins have been forgiven and that everything is clear between you and God. And at that point in time, we can begin to give others forgiveness as freely as we have received forgiveness. It's a wonderful scripture. It's something that does come with maturity. And that through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we're able to do these kinds of things. It's not easy. But grace changes everything. It's not easy. But grace changes everything. Every head bowed, every eye closed. It would have been much easier this morning to stand before you and talk to you about God's forgiving grace to us. And I am so thankful. I am so grateful. So grateful for that forgiving grace of God. But that grace has been given to us for a purpose. That grace has been given to us so that we might in turn forgive other people. To practice this law of love that Jesus has given to us. I don't know what kind of emotions I have stirred this morning. I cannot even begin to imagine. Because I said a moment ago, and I really do believe this, in a room this size, there is one, maybe more, maybe many, that there are some deep hurts that are there. The first place that you have to start is first and foremost, make sure that you have been forgiven. And then ask God by His grace and with His help for you to begin to forgive other people. Tyler and Susie are going to come to the piano and to the platform. And Wayne, I forgot to tell you, we're going to sing "I Then Shall Live" one more time. I'm not opening the altar. I'm not keeping the altar closed this morning. It's just simply here. If there are things in your life that you need to pray about this morning, this altar is open and there will be people who will come beside you and put a loving arm around you and pray with you. Or if you just need, right where you are, to say, "Oh God, help me to be forgiving of that person." I don't know what you need this morning. I would not try to tell you. But grace changes everything. It changes your life. It changes my life. It changes the lives of those people that we willingly, lovingly, graciously forgive. Let's sing, Tyler.
I then shall live as one who's been forgiven. I'll walk with joy to know my debts are paid. I know my name is clear before my Father. I am His child, and I am not afraid. So greatly pardoned, I'll forgive my brother. The law of love I gladly will obey. I then shall live as one to learn compassion. I've been so loved that I risk loving too. I know how fear builds walls instead of defenses. How dare to see another's point of view. And when relationships demand commitment, then I'll be there to care and follow through.
Let's stand as we sing this last verse.
Your kingdom come, around and through and in me. Your power and glory, let them shine through me.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time that we've had to look into your word. May the words of that song be something that we live out in the coming weeks and months. May we live out your word that says that we have been given freely forgiveness. May we freely give it. May we live in such a way that we demonstrate the grace and forgiveness of God to a world that is around us.
And we give you glory, honor, and praise for what you're going to accomplish in our hearts and in our lives and in your church. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. I'm glad you were here this morning. Thank you for being here.